Welcome back. You're listening to All Talk. What do you think about a Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin interview? Would you trust it to be fair and honest? Would you watch? And what do you think about the debate challenge? Donald Trump is now challenging Joe Biden to a debate. Will it happen? Would you like to see it? Could it mean the end of talking about Joe Biden being too old, or could it mean the end of Joe Biden if he didn't hold up well against Donald Trump? We're going to be taking your calls at 935 at 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR. You can also text to that number. Right now, we want to turn our attention to the Crumbly jury deliberations. Jennifer Crumbly faces four counts of involuntary manslaughter related to her son Ethan's actions at Oxford High School. Meanwhile, Ethan, he's already pleaded guilty and serving life in prison without parole. The trial raising questions about accountability, gun responsibility, and the intricacies of proving involuntary manslaughter. The jury sought clarification on a couple of questions. It's always really interesting in a trial when the jury comes back with questions, and that did, in fact, happen. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. Thanks.
Appreciate you being here. You have been in this situation multiple cases. You have a trial. You do your closings. You send it off to the jury with the jury instructions that the judge gives. And then all of a sudden you wait, and all of a sudden, the jurors have a question. What is that like when you find out the jurors have a question?
Kevin, first, this is the worst time for a trial lawyer. No one can kind of tell you or prepare you for this gut-wrenching time of waiting, because you've been on, going at it and working tirelessly, and then all of a sudden the fate of your work is left in the hands of 12 people you can't get back there and talk with. It's a very difficult
Doesn't it drive you crazy when the media talks about, if it's a short deliberation, they're going to be guilty. If it's a long deliberation, they're more likely to be not guilty. And you watch these things come back, and sometimes they decide guilty right away. Sometimes they decide not guilty right away. You really don't know what's going on inside that jury room.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. Steely breathing. I mean, we've had cases where a witness was in the bathroom and didn't wash his hands in front of one of the jurors in the bathroom. And after I won the case, the jury, we went back into the jury room, the judge and the counsel and I and another counsel, and started talking about it. And I was like, oh my goodness gracious me, that made an impact on you. So you never know, what is going to influence a juror. But I have a belief in the system that most of the time jurors take this really seriously, and they work through the evidence, they go through everything, and things resonate, common sense stuff resonates with them. So this one question they asked today, I understand, was a playback of a phone call from a teacher to the defendant today in the Crumbly case. And it was about I saw him searching for bullets, or the whole thing that was on the phone the day before, and there was never a return call from the defendant back to the teacher, and there was a text message exchange after that, basically saying, I'm not mad at you, from the defendant to the son, I just didn't want you to get caught, right? So what does that mean? What is it someone hung up on? I think, if we want the basic thought process there, to me anyway, is they want to know, what did the mom know? What did she do? How did the kid get the gun? Did she really give ordinary care? Was there, just a derelict of duty completely on this case by the mom? I think that's what they're going through. And that's serious stuff. Right? Because, civil cases talk about money. Criminal cases talk about your liberty. And it's great that jurors take this, because it's the only job we have, the only duty we have that in this country is when you're called to jury duty. And I'm it's refreshing that they do take it serious.
Yeah, I think this indicates to me that they are taking this very seriously, and they have folks perhaps on both sides that need to work through this and come to some sort of agreement on this. And so I feel like they're going to listen to each other in that jury room and try and find ways to get questions answered. And I think part of the problem might be, I think people really wanted to hear from Ethan Crumbly to say, well, what happened? And they didn't really get that directly.
Yeah. Well, like we talked about once before, you know, he's got a Fifth Amendment right. He's on appeal because he believes the judge apparently it was an improper sentence to life. So he has that right to appeal, and he's going to claim the Fifth. You can't put a kid or a person on the stand regardless if you know he's going to claim the Fifth. So it was telling, though, you know, because if you remember his allocution when he went to sentencing, he said, no one knew I was going to do this. My parents didn't know, right? So that that was interesting to me because although you can't compel him to testify, you want to find the truth. You want to find the truth that in this case, what happened, how it happened. Me personally, I mean, you can't give a kid a gun. You can't give anybody a gun if you think that person is going to be irresponsible with a gun or has a mental issue of some sort that's struggling in his or her life. Doing so is derelict and, I believe, gross negligence to the extent that you know something really bad could happen. Here, the mom, I think the epicenter of this case is that November 30th date when she's called into the principal's office or called into the school and sees that picture he draws. That's really a disturbing picture. I don't care who you are. That's a disturbing, disturbing picture. I'm not looking for Sister Teresa here. I just as someone that, you know, not extraordinary person, but just an ordinary person.
Right.
Look at that picture and you'd say, time out. Hey, kid, where's the gun? Because it looks like the one I have in this picture here. You know what I mean? I would have called that out in 2 seconds.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it all starts from home. The common sense stuff.
This jury had another question about the two theories for involuntary manslaughter, and they found out they don't have to all go down the same road and say it's this theory or it's this theory. Half could say I think this theory, the other half could say I think this other theory, and they could still get a conviction. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, well, you know, you can have multiple theories on a case and multiple causations, but as long as you have a unanimous verdict of 12 people believing that beyond a reasonable doubt that the prosecution met that burden, that the defendant is guilty, it doesn't matter how that person gets to that place. And you can say it was because of the defendant's act, or you can say it was because of the defendant's failure to act, right? So there's an overt action that the defendant did, or there was something the defendant failed to do. And in this case, I think it's more akin to the failing to act, the failing to give, you know, ordinary care to the shooter when the basic thing of saying a timeout here, timeout, I need to stop you from doing X. You know, it was something that drives me crazy. Think about the prism of how this person sees the world when it is asked by her own attorney, what would you have done differently? She says, nothing. Are you kidding me? If I had to do something different, I would have never given him the gun.
Right.
Or I would have said timeout or done something because four people got killed. Seven got injured. I would have done something different, right?
We're gonna have to leave it there, Todd. Appreciate it. We will certainly talk to you when this verdict comes in, if not sooner. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, buddy. Be well.
All right, your calls are next. 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR.